the Game Nashville studios, it's Stillman and Company. Delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. With Jared Stillman on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll be giving away a pair of Transperfect Music City Bowl tickets later this hour. And we'll be doing what we've done all week. We're all come up with some kind of Stillman and Company radio show question. And whatever the answer is, the first person who calls in will win those tickets. I have not thought of the question yet, so I can't give them, not prepared to give them out now. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us in about 15 minutes or so. So I don't totally believe in popularity, like the idea of, well, who's the popular person in school? I don't really believe in that. I don't care if Caroline Fenton was popular in high school or college. That doesn't affect me when it comes to deciding, is this going to be somebody who's a fit for our show? But what I do wonder is what other people are saying. So what do other people say that don't have an emotional attachment to Caroline Fenton? What about people she's worked with? What about people that... Those are the people you want to talk to before you hire somebody to say, okay, what do we make of this? And sometimes you got to take yourself out of whatever mental fishbowl you're in. Titan fans have a hard time of doing that. They lose a game, and there's all these excuses. Well, what about not having A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Derrick Henry, Jared? Anybody ever wonder about Pittsburgh, who didn't have Juju Smith-Schuster, their number one wide receiver? No, nobody talked about that. You know you beat the Saints because Trevor Siemian was starting at quarterback. Might have been a little different if it was Jameis Winston. Definitely would have been different if it was Drew Brees. Alvin Kamara didn't play in that game either. But when you're stuck in your own fishbowl, sometimes you kind of only think about the things that you want to latch onto. So he started the show today talking about last night's game. I think that there were two people that decided the outcome of the game. Everybody else was just kind of there. A.J. Brown, who was really, really good, and Jimmy Garoppolo, who was really, really bad. And while I don't think we've gotten much pushback from the people that are saying, no, Jared, Jimmy wasn't bad, I feel like a lot of the reaction, and Caroline, you can back me up on this, I feel like a lot of the reaction has been kind of ignoring how bad Jimmy was and focusing more on the good things the Titans did. Fair?
That's fair.
I cannot overstate how bad Jimmy Garoppolo was yesterday. And if you get in a playoff game and the other team's quarterback plays this bad, you may win by default. Could you imagine getting into the Super Bowl and Dak Prescott having this kind of performance? Oh my goodness, I'd take it in a heartbeat. The Titans smoked the Patriots at Nissan Stadium 3 years ago. Just smoked them. And Floyd said to me, I've never seen Tom Brady play that poorly before. And this is a guy who's competed against Tom Brady, a guy who's competed with Tom Brady, and obviously been on the radio as Tom Brady was doing his thing. And he said, I've never seen Brady play that poorly before. I don't watch a lot of Jimmy G. I just know the 49ers aren't committed to Jimmy G long term because they went out and got his replacement. But I'm also not taking the cheese on Jimmy G. So what are the people around the country saying about the Titans' big win yesterday? Shannon Sharp, Hall of Famer. He's got no dog in this fight. He didn't play for San Francisco. He didn't play for the Titans. He doesn't have a beef with either team. Shannon, what happened last night?
Jimmy G was awful. Skip that first interception that he threw to Jack Rabbit. I don't know what he saw. Jack Rabbit was playing outside leverage on Kittle, but he never moved. He didn't expand, and so when Kittle ran the little hook right inside, Jack Rabbit was right there.
Well, he was like the primary receiver.
Yes! Yep. Look at this, Skip. Jack Rabbit, he stands him down.
And this that's for 14 to nothing now, and maybe that'd be a death.
Look at Jack Rabbit.
Yeah.
Jack Rabbit says, well, oh, you're throwing it to him?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. He'll catch it.
That's at worst case scenario, Skip. That's 3 points. You're going to get three out of that. You get nothing. Skip, if you didn't watch the game and you just looked at the stats this morning, you're like, man, Jimmy G was 26 and 35, 333.
Yep.
With a touchdown and two. Like, dang, they should have won. Debo had 9 for 159. But if you watch the game, a game that should have been 17-0, maybe 21-0.
Yep.
He kept the Titans in the ballgame.
So Shannon saying, hey, that was Jimmy right there that did that for the Titans. In fact, Shannon said that last night proved exactly why San Francisco doesn't even like Jimmy.
This is why they went and got Trey Lance.
That is correct.
Why they traded all those.
They traded the sun and the moon.
Because you got a guy that he can't really stay healthy. And when he stays healthy, he makes the most. What are you thinking? Listen. I've known Kyle Shanahan since he was about 10 or 11 years old.
Yep.
I watched him hold a cord for his dad on our sidelines. So I know him. I know how his dad feels about mistakes, especially at that position, because he said you cannot win if that guy, because he touches the ball on every single play. If he turns it over, you can't win with that. Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy G, you got to be the you-know-what.
Mm.
Skip, he cost his team.
So Shannon's basically putting the loss on Jimmy Garoppolo. What about the other channel? What are they saying on ESPN about the Titans? Ryan Clark asked about last night's game. In fact, was asked whether or not this was a sign of the Titans or an indictment of the 49ers.
It was an indictment on Jimmy G. I mean, if you're Kyle Shanahan, if you're the San Francisco 49ers, you have to feel like Clark Griswold did when Eddie moved his trailer onto his property right before Christmas. You have to feel like everything was going well. We have wide receivers. We have an excellent offensive line. Our tight end is great. Our defense is fighting and scrapping. Jimmy G, two interceptions. Jimmy G misses a fourth down throw to Brandon Ayuk. And yes, I know the people that support Jimmy G are going to say he led a touchdown late, but this is the team that can win a Super Bowl, a team that can contend for the NFC. And because of who they have at quarterback, they cannot.
So he's throwing Jimmy under the bus too. And Rob Ninkovich, who was Jimmy's teammate in New England. And hey, what do we remember about Floyd and the New England Brotherhood? If you were in New England and somebody else was in New England at the same time, you can never say anything bad about that person. That is the New England Brotherhood to a T. We can watch Matt Cassel as backup of the Titans lead the inept offense against the Dolphins, and Floyd's not going to throw him under the bus because it's the New England Brotherhood, and that's the rule. Rob Ninkovich on ESPN, Jimmy G's teammate, even he today was talking about Jimmy.
Well, I've had Jimmy G's back from day one. It's tough when you see the interceptions and some of the just bad football. And, you know, I think the writing was on the wall when they drafted the first-round quarterback to the 49ers and everyone knew.
So everybody is slamming Jimmy G today. Can we just accept the fact that Jimmy G was the second-best player in a Titans uniform yesterday? Can we just accept that? Because I feel like Titan fans, Caroline, are too caught up in the emotion that they don't want to be honest with themselves about just how much Garoppolo helped them win last night.
Well, that very much so was the case, and it's exactly what happened against the Steelers. The Titans had that game won, and then they handed it on a platter to Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers and said, you know what, no, we actually don't want to win this game, so we're going to turn the ball over four times.
Yep.
I think that Jimmy Garoppolo absolutely handed the game away. But I also think that Jimmy G could have played poorly and the Titans played better than they have in the past couple of weeks. I think both of those things independently can be true.
Do you think they played better than they played against Jacksonville?
I mean, that's hard to tell against a 49ers team and a Jacksonville team. Jacksonville's terrible.
The Jacksonville game looked like they went through the motions, but that in neither half they did anything good nor bad. Like, they just went out there and they just, you know, whatever. And Jacksonville was so bad and in such a bad spot mentally that it didn't really matter. This game looked like the Titans were not prepared to play. I mean, all of the mistakes. San Francisco marches right down the field, scores a touchdown. The Titans are throwing screen passes 4 yards in the backfield and getting tackled. The play calling was atrocious in the first half. The decision-making from the quarterback was awful in the first half. The coverage was horrible in the first half. They had the one play where Kyle Juszczyk ran up the sideline, and Kevin Byard just let him go right behind him and had no safety help behind him. And luckily for the Titans, Jimmy threw it into the eighth row. And the 49ers were on their way on the second or third drive, just marching right along, and Kittle's standing there, and he throws the ball right to Jackrabbit. If that's 14-0, that's ball game over. Goodbye, see ya. Then nothing that happened in the second half would have happened. And yet, when I say something like that, because this is what happens. If the 49ers got a big lead, now the Titans have to throw on every snap. And the Titans are literally going to throw it 48 times last night. 52 times last night. 14-0, you're at your own 30, you're throwing it, you get sacked, now you've got bad field position, now you punt to San Francisco, they get the ball around midfield, and they have all the momentum. And if it gets to 21-0, it is over, and there is no shot of coming back. And because Jimmy threw the ball right to Jackrabbit, it allowed you to continue into the game. It was 10-0, and he threw the ball right to Rashawn Evans at his 30, and Rashawn dropped it. Like, that's the crazy thing about how bad Jimmy was they still had a chance to win. And I don't give Jimmy any credit for that touchdown drive at the end of the game. He threw the ball to Deebo Samuel, and for some reason the Titans were unaware of the one dude on the field that could beat him. And boy, Deebo, I thought he was going to take that one to the house. Just poor angles from the Titans. But, I mean, we got to be honest here. Like, I don't know how you can get excited about the football team other than AJ, and maybe that is enough to be excited. I don't know how you can get excited about the football team other than it's a week-to-week league, and here are the standings, and if the Colts lose tomorrow, you're in the playoffs as a division winner from yesterday's game, because it's almost like you have to ignore the obvious that Jimmy Garoppolo was just that terrible.
You didn't think there was anything that you took away from that game yesterday that gave you at least a little bit of excitement for the Titans moving forward?
Other than AJ. Question mark.
Sure, other than AJ.
No. Is there supposed to be?
I was encouraged that there were no turnovers. And I know that's what you're supposed to do as an NFL team, that you're not supposed to turn the ball over. You're not supposed to fumble the ball. You're not supposed to throw interceptions. I understand that. But I also think that we are looking at a Titans team that has had a certified turnover problem. So I think that I'm allowed to be a little bit excited about the fact that the Titans didn't turn the ball over yesterday.
How many times did the Titans turn the ball over last week?
4 or 5.
How many times did you turn it over the week before that?
4 or 5.
0.
Against Jacksonville?
Yeah.
That's true. That's right. They didn't turn it over against Jacksonville.
So if you're going to turn it over 0 times and turn around, turn it over 4 times, I'm not getting excited that you turn it over 0 times this week.
Because against next Jacksonville?
Week against, no, so you didn't turn it over against Jacksonville.
And which I Jacksonville.
I gave Tannehill a game ball for not turning the ball over against Jacksonville. Then they turned it over 4 times. So now they turn it over no times. Well, I'm not getting excited about that because 2 weeks ago you didn't turn the ball over and then you turned it over 4 times. So I'm not getting carried away with that. I mean, Bud Dupree just kind of proved what I already had thought about his impact for the team, so I'm not getting carried away over that. And then defense, I'm not getting really carried away because I think that Jimmy was the best defensive player for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Special teams, Kern had a great punt. And Bullock made the field goal, though it was by an inch of an eyelash, you know, to get it in there from 44, which is not like an NFL special. So other than AJ and the fact that Tannehill got a little bit of confidence because of AJ, probably not. And remember that Brian Flores
That's
of the
something.
Dolphins, he's going to watch this tape too. Like, Brian Flores is going to watch this tape before you play. I highly doubt he's going to let the Titans throw the ball to AJ on every third down. Unless maybe AJ's just that good at this point in his career. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us next here on the program. His reaction to the Titans win. Should you be excited about it? Should we be giving credit to all these people that the text line just demands I give credit to? We'll do that coming up next. Fireball Hot Take Friday. No better way to celebrate the holidays than by enjoying ice cold Fireball Cinema Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. I absolutely love Fireball Cinema Whiskey. If you're going to be spending time with your family and you're going to be making a trip before that Christmas Eve or Christmas night dinner, be sure to pick up Fireball Cinema Whiskey. It will go over so, so well. And of course, for your New Year's Eve parties, you got to celebrate with Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Ignite the night, please do it responsibly, and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. I really got to come up with what I'm going to do to give away these tickets. Again, Stillman & Company live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. What am I going to do to give away these Music City Bowl tickets? I'll give them away later this hour. I got to come up with a Stillman & Company trivia question. I've had a couple in my head, and then I've just forgotten about them. Anywho, bowl season is the best season. ESPN The Game Nashville is your radio home for the college football bowl games and the college football playoff, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. 312 Pizza Company is a perfect spot to catch every bowl game during bowl season. For a full list of games on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, hit up the website at thegamenashville.com/bowl games. Titans winners on Thursday night football. And I know people get mad at me when I talk about how bad Jimmy Garoppolo was, or this, that, or the other. Corey Curtis joins us now, News 2. So, Corey, I predicted the Titans were going to win this game. I didn't think that they would be as bad in the first half as they were, but they did beat San Francisco. Now a loss tomorrow from Indianapolis puts them in the playoffs. The one seed still seems a little far-fetched. What did you take away from last night's Titans victory?
That A.J. Brown does mean more to this offense moving forward, I think, than Derrick Henry does. Not that Derrick Henry isn't the best player on the team, not that they don't need him, but without AJ, it really stalls things, and we see that. And so it's imperative that they have him on the field if they're going to do anything, you know, if they're going to approach greatness. Number two, I think you were talking about this earlier in the week, Bud Dupree is clearly a game changer for the defense and makes everybody around him better. And I think that that group knows it. And I think when that group lines up with their four guys up front, they feel like they can stop anybody. And because that's the way they play. And so I feel good about this defense going into the postseason, that they can give them a chance to beat anybody. And then the other thing is the thing that I've seen all season, that this team can take a punch, that they can get, you know, absolutely cold-cocked and keep moving forward. And I think that that's a great characteristic of the football team.
See, I will be, I guess, Mr. Negative Nancy here, the Grinch, or whatever you want to call you on Christmas. What bothers me about that idea of, like, hey, the Titans started off super slow and they were so terrible in the first half, but they came back in the second half. I look at that and I'm like, if they have that performance against a better quarterback in a playoff game that matters, that game may be over before the Titans found their groove last night, and that scares me. And that's why, like, San Francisco to me is a fringe playoff team. Like, they're, you know, probably like what Buffalo is in the AFC or Indianapolis, you know, like they're going to make the playoffs in the NFC and they'll get bounced in the first round and then Jimmy will leave and Trey Lance will be their quarterback. Like, when I watch this game, I'm like, if they played this way against a good team, Kansas City and Arrowhead, they'd get run out of the building. And that's why I was bothered by their performance yesterday, because against anybody who's any good, you lose.
A punch, I mean, at any point in the game, that something goes wrong or they're not playing well, it's not the end of the day. They keep charging forward until they get it figured out. And that can happen at any point in the game. So that's what I'm talking about from that point of view. Yeah, how did they play in the first half? Not great. Now, look, defensively, I thought they were good all day. I thought Kyle Shanahan's opening drive was fantastic. And I think he deserves to be applauded for that opening drive. I thought their use of misdirection was fantastic, and I thought they really put together a good opening drive. But, I mean, look, when you put the last two quarters of Pittsburgh with the first two quarters of this game, they had 77 yards passing over four quarters, okay? You're not going to beat many people doing that. That was ugly. And I think the thing that was really ugly to me in the first half was I felt like they were playing not to turn the ball over. They looked afraid to try to do anything because they didn't want to risk putting the ball in jeopardy. And then in the second half, I think that kind of got thrown aside, and they just said, let's do this. You know, if we're going to play, we're going to play. You know, go get the ball downfield. And it looked like a completely different thing. But I thought offensively they looked almost timid in the first half. And San Francisco is not a timid team. They will take it to you. And I agree with you. San Francisco is not a world beater. They're a good team. They've got some really good players, but they're not a world beater. But, you know, it's also not Jacksonville or Houston.
I just look at this game and I think, you know, kind of like the Steeler game, I went into it and I picked the Steelers to win, but I said, okay, you just have to find a way to eke out a victory over the Steelers. That's all that matters, and it doesn't matter how you get it because A.J. Brown is coming back next week. Mm-hmm. And so when they weren't able to get that win over the Steelers, it kind of turned me off on the team because I don't think that they can get to L.A. without having the one seed. I don't think they can go on the road. Maybe if they're the two seed and they only have to play one road game or not even a road game and they get lucky and someone does their dirty work for them. But I really felt like they needed to avoid playing both New England and Kansas City, and they needed that game at home, whomever they did play against. It looks like that'll be on the road. In this game, I felt like they were going to win because Thursday night football favors the home team. And I thought San Francisco got tired in the second half. I just don't think, other than the fact that AJ is a really good player, which we already knew, I just don't think there's anything tangible about this game to feel good about or pump your chest, other than the reality that a win is a win in the NFL. But I kind of feel like the Titans may be getting a false sense of security after this win.
Well, I mean, when you look at San Francisco, look at 5-1 in their last six. Look how many points they're scoring. They're scoring 30 points a game in that stretch.
I know, but it's Atlanta and Jacksonville. And I'm not going to sit here and claim that I know a lot about the 49ers because I don't. And I don't really watch the 49ers much. And after watching yesterday, I know exactly why they traded 3 first-round picks to get a quarterback, because that quarterback was terrible last night. But I watched TV before the game, and Lewis Riddick was talking, you know, about, the Titans struggles. They're so bad this, so bad that, so bad. San Francisco might be the best team to go on the road and beat Green Bay. And I'm like, this guy hasn't watched either team play. And that's kind of how I feel about San Francisco. I think San Francisco, with that quarterback, they are one and done in the NFC playoffs.
Look, Deebo Samuel is a fantastic football player.
Sure.
And George Kittle is a really good player. And then they've got some other pieces. And generally, their attack, they run the football well, no matter who's back there. And you're right. The whole key is the guy pulling the trigger. Because when he's playing well, and in that opening drive, his head coach had him. I mean, it was almost very Jared Goff, Sean McVay-like. You know what I'm saying? Where he was like he had all week to get Jimmy G ready for that first drive. And he went right down the field like a hot knife through butter. But then as the Titans adjust things and the game goes along and they make their adjustments, can the quarterback adjust along with it? And, you know, look, he made some nice plays, and he's capable of making good plays. But the thing that you see about him is in critical situations, just some monumental mistakes. I mean, you can't throw an interception into the end zone. You can't.
I thought he had 5 horrendous passes last night.
The interception,
the one. So the ball into the end zone. The ball into the end zone. The Ayuk throw. The interception to Hooker. The not interception right in the hands of Rashawn Evans.
Yeah.
And the ball where he overthrew Kyle Juszczyk, who busted a coverage and probably would have gotten to about the 7-yard line.
Mm.
And I just don't think that you can. Like, if Tannehill won the game and had 5 throws like that, we'd be going nuts. You know, if Tannehill made 5 egregiously terrible throws that cost his team a game. I just want to be honest with the people and say, hey, that was, you won the game, good, move on to the Dolphins. But I don't think Tua is going to come in here and throw 5 balls like that, much less Patrick Mahomes or Bill Belichick's quarterback.
Listen, I agree with what you're saying. But I also look at this Titans team and understand, to me, that you're still pointed towards the postseason in getting all your guys back and getting this thing rolling again. I mean, you got A.J. Brown back for one game. You play without Saffold and you played without the one, all right? You know, you're missing some of those key components to running the football, which what you do really well. And didn't do really well in this game because there were times they got it handed to them on the line of scrimmage. And I agree with you, what you said earlier, that I thought Raiden's at time was better than Quisenberry in this game. I think Quisenberry might lead the league in sacks allowed. I think it's like 11 or something this season.
Quisenberry's awful.
He saved himself one with a holding penalty last night.
Well, he may have saved the ball game with that holding penalty because, where I was sitting, I was on the opposite side. Tannehill had no idea Bosa was there, and he was going to throw, and Bosa was going to kill him.
Well, and that was the other thing is you notice at halftime, Bosa switched sides. He was on Raiden's side to start the game. Second half, he went over to Quisenberry's side.
And I thought I thought he switched at halftime to Raiden's side, and then switched back to Quisenberry.
I just noticed something. Oh, he's I just noticed he was on the other side of the field for the second half. It may have happened at a different time, but that's where I felt I had seen it. But I just thought it was interesting, and not that he gave up on rushing Raiden, but he said, let's go over here and take a shot on this guy. And I thought he had a little more success.
Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest. How big of a deal? TD talked about this yesterday. I think this is legitimate, that Ryan Tannehill had lost a little bit of his cockiness. Mm-hmm. I thought Tannehill kind of got back into a little bit of a groove that we haven't seen him in a while when he hit the free play to A.J. Brown for the big shot that kind of got it rolling. Then we saw a great throw from Tannehill in the end zone, and we saw that run during the two-minute drill, a lot like the Kansas City game a couple years ago. How tangible is that going forward for Tannehill?
Well, I think it's really important, and I think you're right on the money, because I look at the throw that really looked different to me was the 18-yard touchdown. I mean, he let that thing rip before Brown had made the break yet, and there were like three defenders there, and popped it right in there, and he didn't even hesitate. Where, you know, he's throwing to some of these other guys, and it's not with the same confidence or vigor or assertiveness, you know. And, you know, he, you know, with AJ out there, all of a sudden he's dropping back and he's just letting it rip. And it's just, you know, you could hear it when he talked about it earlier in the week, you know, when he was asked about, you know, how much time does it take for you guys to get back together? He goes, oh, AJ and I have so many reps together, you know, we're good. And you saw that. Now, it did look like when they started the game, they were willing to take many of those shots down the field. Everything they were trying to do was 5 yards and under, and the 49ers were a little bit keyed in on 11 to start the game, so it didn't work real well. But I thought he looked much different throwing him the football. And then as you look at the team going forward, you know, look at the 13-yard play to Firkser. That's all because of A.J. Brown, okay? So he opens other things up. I also thought he helped open up the run game some in the second half as well. But look, I mean, we talk about great players making great coaches. You know, part of Joe Montana's brilliance is throwing to Jerry Rice, right?
Sure.
Throwing to, you know, that big tight end he had, or Roger Craig, or Tim Rathman. I mean, he had great players around him. And, you know, Troy Aikman had a few great players around him. And A.J. Brown is going to make Ryan Tannehill better. And, you know, that's why we get excited about this team, is because you think with an A.J. Brown, and if Julio Jones can ever be a part of this thing with him, and possibly Derrick Henry coming back, you got a chance. You know, you got three star caliber players to put around your quarterback, and hopefully, I mean, that's what we came into the season talking about, was that these guys could open up things for other people. But none of them have been on the field long enough to do it or see it. And so that's, you know, that's, and yet they're still 10-5. And I think that's, you know, I know you're talking about this false sense of security. They've been holding this thing together with duct tape and bubble gum, and they're still 10-5. And I think that's what gives fans ultimate hope going into the postseason.
Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest. I'll be on News 2 Sports Extra on Sunday night. When we do Sports Extra Sunday night, will the Tennessee Titans be the AFC South champions?
You know, I'll say yes, because I'm not like the NFL, and I'm not in love with this Colts team. I'm not completely infatuated with Carson Wentz and the Colts like the entire rest of the National Football League. I don't understand it. Andrew Luck hasn't been there in a few years. Peyton Manning hasn't been there even longer. But they still get treated like NFL royalty at 8-6, and that's fine. I don't believe in them. I believe they've got some good players, but I believe their quarterback will crumble in the clutch.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week, Corey?
I thought that was pretty good right there, man. Fire it away. The quarterback's going to come. You know, here's my hot take, and I'll give it to you. You talk about the Titans not being able to go on the road. I don't care in the AFC where they go and who they play. I like this team. I like their toughness. That's not saying that they're going to necessarily do it. I wouldn't be afraid to take this team anywhere and go play.
I do not feel the same way.
I
Corey Curtis.
And you know what? That's what makes the world go round. By the way, I love your sweater today. I did mention that on Twitter.
Thank you. Thank you. Celebrating every holiday, even though my holiday ended like a month ago.
Corey Curtis. I should have my daughter come over and sing Dreidel. She's not here.
That's okay. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Where is she?
She's in the other room. She's hunting for Bigfoot or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully Santa will grace her, one or two more times down the stretch here. Corey, appreciate you, as always. Have a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday.
All right, happy holiday to you. Look forward to having you Sunday night at 10:35 on Sports Extra. Be there.
Oh, I am excited. Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us, presented by Invigorate Health, online at InvigorateHealthTN.com. His appearance on Stillman & Company is presented by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, which I've done, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, which I've done, body shaping treatments, which I've done. Go to InvigorateHealthTN.com for more info. I absolutely love Invigorate Health, by the way, for what that's worth. So Corey thinks that the Titans can go on the road anywhere, anytime, meet us there. We'll see you. Don't worry about it. You know, they went on the road 5 days ago against a quarterback who can't throw anymore and a team that can't stop the run, and they lost, right? Okay. Coming up next, the one difference that I have with that take. There's only one thing that really bothers me about Corey's take about not worrying about the Titans on the road, and I want to get to that coming up. And it's interesting because Skip Bayless, of all people, actually makes a little bit of sense. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. Happy holidays, everybody. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am in a very Santa Claus mood today. So I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to the Transperfect Music City Bowl. Here's the question. Be the first at 615-737-1025 to tell Max Herz the correct answer. Every single day during Jared and the GM's tenure, we always ask the GM how he was doing. How would he respond every single day? It is a one-word answer. If you know that word, call in right now, 615-737-1025, and you will be going to the Transperfect Music City Bowl on Thursday, December 30th, between the Tennessee Volunteers and the Purdue Boilermakers at Nissan Stadium. Good luck for that. So, Corey Curtis said that he is not afraid whatsoever of the Titans going on the road in the playoffs. And I could not disagree more. Do I think the Titans could win a game on the road in the playoffs? Yes, I do. I think they could win one by going on the road to Foxborough and winning a game, going on the road to Arrowhead like they did in 2017 and winning a game. Can they do what they did a couple years ago? Foxborough, Baltimore, Arrowhead, and win two games in a row? Beat the Patriots, win a game at home against a better quarterback than yesterday, like Joe Burrow. Then go on the road. Then beat Kansas City. Then beat the Patriots. I don't think they can. I just struggle with that one. Skip Bayless, though, made the same claim, which is why I took the Pittsburgh loss so hard on Sunday about the Titans today. Here's what Skip Bayless said. I guess Max wasn't ready on the trigger with that one. Skip Bayless said, don't let the Titans get the one seed. That's how I feel. Caroline, do you agree with Corey that he's not worried anywhere, anytime, any whatever that they can win? Or do you think that they need to be at home and not have to go on the road and get the bye and whatever? Because Pittsburgh's in the COVID protocols. New England's got a tough test with Buffalo. And what's the other one? The Colts are probably going to lose. Maybe. Who knows? Colts are playing at Arizona tomorrow. What do you make of Corey's take that they can go on the road and win?
I mean, I think it would be an incredibly difficult feat. I mean, you go on the road in Foxborough against a Bill Belichick coach team in January. It's awfully cold in New England in January. Going on the road to Arrowhead, that's a really menacing environment. I'm with you. I think the Titans can win a game on the road. I don't think that they're going to, you know, go into the playoffs and be one and done, but it's going to be incredibly difficult to consecutively win games on the road in the playoffs against incredibly talented teams. But I will counter this. What if Derrick Henry comes back?
See, here's the problem. I think both the Patriots and the Chiefs are very unforgiving teams. So, for example, like last night, Jimmy Garoppolo forgave some of your mistakes. Like, you can't drop a ball. I was texting with Floyd's daughter-in-law. you cannot drop a ball when the quarterback throws it right in your hands down 10-0 at your own 30-yard line or at their 30-yard line. You can't drop that ball. Jimmy put that ball right in the hands of Rashawn Evans, and he dropped it. And I was texting Floyd's daughter-in-law, and I was like, I literally could hear Floyd saying, this is the NFL now. You can't drop interceptions like that and expect to win. And in New England, like San Francisco last night, gave you some of those mistakes. You make mistakes like that, you drop one interception against Kansas City, he's not throwing another one. You play the Patriots, we saw this when they played the Patriots a couple weeks ago. Mac Jones put a ball right in Dylan Cole's hands. And if Dylan Cole catches it, he probably runs into the end zone for a touchdown. You fumble the ball against New England, they will not forgive your mistakes. And the Titans make more mistakes on the road than they do at home, sans the Texans game. They make more mistakes on the road than they do at home. And the Titans really play up when they're at Nissan Stadium. I think home field does matter. And so you bring up Derrick Henry. I think that only helps if you get Derrick Henry. And again, I think you can beat one of these teams once. I think that's the hard part of the two or the three seed, is you probably have to beat them both. You have to beat New England one week and turn around and beat Kansas City at Kansas City the next week. And I just don't see the Titans not making mistakes when this season they have made a ton of mistakes. Go back to the Jets game when they had Derrick Henry. They have made mistakes all season long, and I just don't see them going two games or three games now, because you got to win the one at home, where they don't make any of those mistakes. They won the division last year. You know, what was it? Corey said they're 10-5. You know, they're 10-5. Okay, they were 11-5 and won the division last year. Whoop-de freaking do. They went into a Ravens game where they made one or two critical mistakes. They let Lamar Jackson take a run to the house, kind of like Debo Samuel last night, and then they had the other one. And I just think they make too many mistakes for me to be able to go on the road and win too much in a playoff. And I'm not guaranteeing that if they get the one seed, that they're going to get to Los Angeles. But I think they got a pretty good shot if they do. This is a big weekend. It's a big weekend for the Titans. Kansas City's got COVID issues. They're going to be playing without Hill and Kelsey at Pittsburgh. Maybe the Steelers can do you a favor after beating you last week. Buffalo is a tough matchup for the Patriots. This is a big week for the Titans. You ready for six-pack picks? That's coming up next. A holiday edition of six-pack picks where Caroline tries to get the put 2021 in her rearview mirror with a good week, and we will
really
do that.
Would be a Christmas miracle.
A Christmas miracle. I like that. TriStar Moving, my official movers. If you're looking to move around the first of the year, a lot of people move. Leases are up. You want to get out, you've got to do it. Call TriStar Moving. They will help you move. They helped me move when I moved a year ago, and I absolutely loved them. I'm glad that we're such great partners with them, because it gives me the opportunity to tell you how much I enjoyed my move. I'm thankful for them this holiday season for how well they have helped our community. And that's why their motto is TriStar Moving with five-star service. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they care about this community. And that's why I'm so glad to be able to tell you about how much I love them. And they moved me perfectly. No issues at either home, and everything was taken care of. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. 615-640-1219, or visit their website at nationalmoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 5% off. TriStar Moving, my official movers. By the way, the answer for the Music City Bowl tickets, and we did have a winner, the answer was outstanding, which is how the GM started every single show. GM, how you doing? Outstanding. By the way, coming on as soon as we're off here at 4 o'clock, we hope everybody has a great holiday. Floyd Reese, a true titan, the Ring of Honor special, will be following as soon as we are out here. Congratulations to me, Caroline.
Why?
Because one of us has already started off 1-0 in six-pack picks so far this week, and one of us is 0-1 after the Titans got it done yesterday. One of us predicted the Titans.
Let me preface it like this, because you say, oh, I picked the Titans. Let's not forget, you prefaced your pick with, I don't know why I'm doing this. I wish I could change the pick that I made earlier in the week, but I guess I'm going to pick the Titans. So don't come at me with all that confidence and all that boasting, because you didn't want to pick the Titans last night.
Who'd I pick on Monday? What did I tell people on Monday, on Doom and Gloom Monday?
No. We're not going to Monday. We're talking about yesterday. When we made our picks yesterday, you said, I don't want to pick the Titans, but I guess I am. You said, I don't want to do this, but I guess I am.
You know why I did it?
Why?
Because I thought they were going to win. And they did. There you go. Just like I picked the Steelers last week and I won. Max, how are we doing so far on the season?
As I inherit this for 1 week from Ian, it appears that Jared is doing better than Caroline by That's about true. 13 games.
What are our records?
Jared is 49-40-1 push. Awesome. Caroline is 36-53 with one push. But Caroline was better last week, 3-3 compared to Jared's 2-4.
Not good enough. Not good enough. All right, let's start with the first game, Max.
All right, number one. You can see it on NFL Network on Christmas night. That's a little loud. We'll bring that down there. My favorite player in the NFL, Kyler Murray, hosting Jared's favorite player in the NFL, Carson Wentz, and the Indianapolis Colts. The Cardinals are 1-point home favorites. Do you guys need the total? The total is 49. You don't pick the total, do you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Cardinals are 1-point favorites, Saturday, 7:15 on NFL Network.
Caroline, who goes first?
I go first. That's your Christmas present to me. I am going to pick the Arizona Cardinals, and I was fully prepared to pick the Indianapolis Colts because I thought, you know, the Cardinals were really on a downward slope. But once I heard the news that Quentin Nelson was going to be out for this game, I feel like the Cardinals are going to be able to get this done easily by 1 point. I think Indianapolis is incredibly reliant on Quentin Nelson. I mean, you saw when he was out at the beginning of the season versus now. I mean, Indianapolis looks like a different team. And I think that they're going to regress into the early season Indianapolis Colts that we saw earlier this season. So give me the Cardinals with a bounce back after an embarrassing loss to the Detroit Lions, -1.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cardinals too. And I'm going to do it not because of anything with Indianapolis. I think that what happens is in the NFL, when you get embarrassed, and they got embarrassed last week against the Lions, they've heard all that talk all week. Arizona knows we got to turn it around. The playoffs are coming, and I think they get it done. Titans win the division tomorrow night.
All right, so you're both going with the Cards in our first game. Next up, we are moving to the Sunday games. Rams at Vikings. Rams are 3.5-point road favorites in Minnie. It is at noon. It is on Fox, but not on Fox here, so go to another city and watch it on Fox. Rams are 3.5-point favorites.
I'll take the Rams. I think Minnesota stinks. I think Cousins stinks, and they won last week, so they won't be motivated to play well this week. And there's a chance Cousins might miss the game because Dalvin Cook tested positive for COVID, and Cousins is, like, super unvaccinated. So if he's a close contact to Cook, which I would have a hard time believing that he's not, he may miss the game. I'll take the Rams.
What's the difference between unvaccinated and super unvaccinated?
Like, he's not only unvaccinated, like, he wants everybody to know that he's not vaccinated.
He's, like, very against it. Well, yes. I agree with you. I'm going with the Rams as well. I mean, both of these teams are coming in off of short rest, and I trust the Rams and Matthew Stafford on a short week versus old man Kirk Cousins if he does play in the Minnesota Vikings. And I think without Dalvin Cook, this Vikings offense is incredibly one-dimensional.
All right, so you're both 2-for-2 in matching so far. Moving on to game number 3, AFC North. Division leader going to be decided. Ravens at Bengals in front of a probably not capacity crowd in Cincinnati. Bengals are 3-point favorites. The game is at noon. It is on CBS. And again, it is not on TV here. Who you guys got? Bengals are 3-point favorites.
I'm going to take the Bengals in this one. I mean, the Ravens are just a shell of the team that they were at the beginning of the season. They have virtually zero healthy players, and the Bengals blew the Ravens out earlier in the season when the Ravens were at full health. So give me the Bengals -3.
I'll take the Ravens. I think they're the tougher team. I think the Bengals are going to be too cocky. I'll take Baltimore.
All right, game number 4, also on CBS at noon, and it is the game on TV in Nashville. Bills at Patriots. Patriots are 2.5-point favorites at home.
Ooh, that's a spicy game to get on TV. I will take Buffalo. I think Buffalo, now losing Derek Gabriel and losing Cole Beasley is going to be tough for Josh Allen. And Foxborough is not an easy place to throw, and they don't run, and you know Bill's going to enjoy that. I think the Bills were embarrassed by what happened in that Monday night game in Buffalo, and I think that they know this is a big-time division game for the division. Buffalo is trending in the wrong direction, but I'm going to take the Bills because I think they are so angry about what happened a couple weeks ago. Give me Buffalo.
I'm going to take the Patriots here. Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne are also both out of this game, so both teams kind of short on wide receivers, but the Patriots have a run game and the Bills do not. Foxborough is an incredibly difficult place to play, so give me the Patriots. I think Bill Belichick knows how to get this done. And the chatter from the Bills after their loss in the last game against the Patriots, I think is going to be fuel for Bill Belichick and this Patriots team.
Game number 5 of our 6-pack picks, Steelers at Chiefs, 3:25 on CBS. That is the national TV game. It will be on TV here with Jim and Tony. 8.5-point favorites for the Chiefs at home. Who are we going with?
I'm going to take the Steelers to cover. I'm going to take the Steelers plus 8.5. I saw this wild stat that just Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill alone have accounted for 54% of the Chiefs' offense so far this season. The entire rest of the Chiefs' offense that's even gotten one target or touched the ball one time accounts for just 46% of this team's total offense. I think they are really going to be missing Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. And let us not forget that the Chiefs didn't look like a playoff caliber team earlier in the season. And I think without two of their biggest certified offensive threats, you know, without Patrick Mahomes, I think that Patrick Mahomes is really going to be missing them. So I think the Steelers are able to keep it close against Kansas City.
I'm going to take Kansas City, even without Kelce and Hill. And you know why that is?
Why?
Because I think the Steelers suck. And that's the hard part about the Titans' loss last week. Is I think Pittsburgh's terrible. I think Kansas City blows them out without Hill and Kelce.
All right, our last game, Broncos at Raiders. I don't know if this game means anything at this point, but it is an even pick. 3:25 on CBS, not on TV here, thankfully.
I will take the Raiders simply because I think Drew Lock's not very good, so give me the Raiders.
It's tough without Teddy Bridgewater in this one. I think the Broncos are able to at least keep it close. So I'll take the Broncos against the spread, but I do think the Raiders end up getting the win here without Teddy Bridgewater for the Broncos.
The spread is 0 points, so you're picking a winner.
Okay, well then never mind. Well then, I'll take the Raiders. I'll take the Raiders to win.
All right, there you go.
6-pack picks are presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Everybody, please have a very safe and happy holiday. Please, again, be sure to drive safely. Please be sure to get to and from safely. However you define safe, whatever you want to define as safe, please be safe. But have a great time, whether it's with your family, your loved ones, your friends, whatever have you. Everybody, please have a great holiday. This past year, as we've talked about many a time, has been very difficult on all of us here at the radio station, having lost Floyd. And you think back to some of these moments with your family and your loved ones and your friends. And so on behalf of everybody, we just want to wish everybody a very happy holiday. I certainly want to wish everybody a very happy holiday. We're back at it Monday at 2 o'clock. The Floyd Reese special, a true Titan, a Ring of Honor special is next. Everybody have a great holiday and have a great new year as well. We will see you soon.